Morning to everyone. Good morning. Good to see the bounties of God's creation this morning. Prayerfully, everyone is well this morning. Before we begin, a word of prayer, please. Gracious God, Father in heaven, Holy Redeemer, Giver of life and all the things that are perfect and good, we're very thankful, our God, that you have blessed us in this life. Bless us, our God, with those things that are profitable for us, those things that can help us endure the darts of the devil, those things, our God, that can build us up, that we can help and tend to each other. Pray for our God, that as we go through this study, we remember that you are our creator, our sustainer, giver of life, and a rewarder of heaven eternally. Prayerfully, our God, we ask this prayer through Jesus. Amen. We're on lesson 5 this morning, page 25 in your lessons. A little review. The work. The work of a congregation is what? Three things. And a verse that goes with them. Edification, I think you're trying to say, Ennis, to edify, okay? And 1 Corinthians 14:26 is a good example of that, that whole chapter. And when we talk about edification, are we just saying greeting one another? Or are we in the context of the Corinthian letter, and that verse and that chapter is dealing with more than just, you know, being uplifted, being happy about the situation. It's more than that, much more. It's the idea of being educated, informed, to the point of understanding. And that's what teaching is, isn't it? That's what teaching is, okay? And we'll see that. So that edification is what we can do, and that's what we're doing throughout our song service and teaching and all those sort of things, okay? Preaching is the idea of edifying to the point and building up our faith, making our faith stronger, so that we can please God in our actions and our thoughts. Now, what would be the second thing that is a work? Okay, approved by God. Edification first. Benevolence. Okay. We see benevolence to saints. Okay, not a general benevolence. And this we see in 1 Timothy 5:16, where the church was involved there in a from the general treasury to help a needy saint. We saw that 2 Corinthians 8:9, also in Romans 15. So we're talking about edification, we're talking about benevolence. If you remember, EEB, all right? So the second E would be evangelism, okay? And that's the idea of, and we should never use the word hire a preacher. Support. We support a man in his work to preach the gospel, to preach the gospel. And we can do that in Philippians 4. There's a verse for that. Philippians 4:15. And when we support, which we do here, a dozen or so people, okay, men, and the gracious work that each of you do, appreciate that. When we do that, what about our local preacher? Okay? We support him too, don't we? All right, and that work, same, but he has a dual responsibility, okay? He's also a member of a local congregation, isn't he? But, and under oversight, but that oversight does not dictate what the preacher does in any situation. He still has the obligation to preach in season and out of season. Still has an obligation. So, this idea of evangelism, preaching the gospel, okay, support of that, idea of benevolence, And the idea of edifying and building up, strengthening, building our faith, those things are all together as a work we do in Christ. In Christ. All right. So our lesson today is the purpose of the local church. Okay, that was the work. So is the work in accord with the purpose? With the purpose. Now, last time we previewed the first part there as a member of Universal Church. We'll go over more detail now. And then the second part is the benefit of doing together. As society recognizes when you work together, work that model of working together, strengthens everyone, helps everyone, okay, towards the goal you're after. And then the last part is the purpose of the local church, number three, and we'll go over that. Now, as a member of the Universal Church, we've noticed, and you'll notice the questions when we get to those, Ephesians 1:3, that a person who is saved by Jesus, and Jesus recognizes that you're saved and forgiven of your trespasses and sins, that there are blessings that you have. And we'll go over those in the questions. But those things are specific. They're things that are privileged things that you have. And those are things that we should value to maintain our faith, okay, to keep those blessings in our corner and to make God approve of us or help God to approve of us. Of course, God's approval of us is only through grace, isn't it? Only through grace. And we need to recognize that we have certain blessings because of Christ, and we'll look at those. Now, the B part there is we've got privileges. As individuals, members of the Universal Church, before we're in a local congregation, what things can we do to reflect our faith, to reflect our commitment to Christ individually for that? Well, the first one we have is James 5:13. And it's an interesting thing in James 5:13 that as we look at that, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. If anyone cheerful, let him sing praises. Now, of course, tonight we're going to have a singing together, okay? And Todd is directing that tonight and organizing that. And our cooperation in that would be really helpful to him and also benefit us. So singing. I'm at home, and I'm doing something in the yard, kind of a tedious thing over and over, or just go on a porch and sitting, and I see the beauties of nature, and I say, you know, it's good to be alive. It's good to be alive. And it's good to not have serious health problems right now and all that. So what can I say? Can I break into song? Thank you, God, okay, for these blessings that I have now, this privilege I have. Can I do that individually? Yes. If you're thinking about people who are dredged in sin and the repercussions of that, you know, I'm blessed. And I'm going to sing about that. You can sing by yourself. You can sing by yourself, okay? And that's a privilege you have, and God hears your singing, because that's motivated from what? A heart of praise, a heart of thanksgiving. Thank you, recognition who hears you when you sing. And so we can think about that, especially in reference to James here, that we can sing praises, and we can be cheerful when we do it. Why would we be cheerful? Serve a great God. And be cheerful is an attitude, a positive attitude, isn't it? Okay? Because we know that in the end, our eternal life is with Christ, isn't it? Okay? Above all the problems you may have and all the uncertainties in life, that's something you can be sure of, that hope which is based, okay, on the will of Christ, what He wants for you. Now, so we can sing in that. And again, you can sing about family and health and gratitude and life. So don't be afraid to sing, okay, when you can. If you you need a book, certainly we can provide books to take home. Some do that. That's no problem at all. All right? And those are your favorite song. Now, as an individual also, we have the privilege of praying. And we touched on that a minute ago. You know, when you're at home or in a car and you're thinking about the things that, you know, things are happening and or something turned out well, give thanks to God for that, okay? Can you pray? Can you express your heart and your mind to Him, okay, for those things that came out right or special needs you have? You have. What about special needs of others? Same ideas, okay? You can do them prayers on your own. That's a privilege you can have as being saved, as Christ hears you. God hears you, and He'll answer those prayers. Because we know in Acts 10:9 over there, who was praying there in Acts 10:9? Peter was, wasn't he? Okay? And he was up on his housetop by himself. Okay? So his prayers to God. Prayers to God. So there's an example there of that. So that's a privilege we can have. And I think we should exercise more during the day. I know when you in the morning you get up, a prayer is always good. Sure, we pray at our meals, all right? But let's make prayer a bigger part of our lives because you'll benefit from it. Because you're not talking to the air. You're talking to God. Okay? So be aware of that. So prayer is what we need to do. And because you're saved, you've got full access to God. So let's remember that also. In number three there, it says give in 3 John 5:8. Now, in these verses here in 3 John, Agabus is a man of God. And as he is living a life in 3 through 8, "For I was very glad when brethren came and bore witness to your truth," that is, how you are walking in truth. Paul's saying this to him. "I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth." Certainly, that's a good point, walking in the truth. "I have no greater joy than this, to hear my children walking in the truth." Verse 4, verse 5. "Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers, and they bear witness of your love before the church." So apparently Gaius, on his own, there's no indication here there was a treasury involved or any collective church action, but Gaius here, on his own, is helping these strangers, not strangers in the area, not strangers to him, but they're strangers because he doesn't know them well, but they're in Christ. They're in Christ, brothers and sisters. And he opens his house to that, opens his abilities to that. And that's a thing that we can do on our own also. We can do that. Now, we have an opportunity individually to do all kinds of things to help brethren, okay, to help others. We can, again, visiting preacher comes in, put him up. People visit, okay. I know people that need help, you can help them, but you can certainly do that, promote that on your own. That's a privilege you can do for in Christ things, because he desires that of us. And Gaius is a good example of that. Now, in number four, as a privilege, there were letters written to Philemon, Timothy, and Titus, and they're individuals. And what were those letters designed to do to those men? Well, to build their faith, to give them confidence in what they were doing because they're young, or give them confidence in that, how they interact with other people. They were instruction, weren't they? Instruction to individuals. God breathed instruction to individuals. So, can we study on our own? Yes. Okay. God knows we're studying on our own? Yes. Okay. We can study so many things in life. Why would we study Scripture? That's right. Okay. How we should live on this earth in Christ, okay? Because that's the book that the only place where it can be found. And in doing that, we're pleasing God, aren't we? Okay, that's a privilege we have. privilege we have to do that. And wouldn't we want to do that? Yes, we would. Yes, we would. Okay? To build our own faith and the faith of others. Now, we just talked about others, and not only there, maybe number five would be teach others. Can we teach? That's an outgrowth of our faith, isn't it? Okay? Acts 8:4, where they're scattered about and what about teaching? So we can also make that a part of our privilege of being in Christ to teach others. And again, it provides, and a prerequisite for that is studying, okay, and reading and doing those things that would build us up. Now, yes, ma'am. Excellent wording there in Philemon. The hearts have been refreshed. Refreshed. Excellent word. Okay? And those are things that we can do with others. We can do with ourselves. Those things, when you see those words of commitment of others, okay, in face of trials, in the strong face of trials in the New Testament, you see that they can be refreshed by knowing that heaven awaits them, knowing that their trials and tribulations, they can overcome those. So those are things we need to understand. Yes, Rocky?
These four items, saying, prayer, giving, and study. Someone might say, well,
certainly does. And again, the local church is the idea now. We're together and we can get some mutual benefit out of these actions that we have. Okay? Because some of us lack, okay, or fall down or as committed or have problems that may hinder us in our prayers, hinder us in our singing, hinder us in our giving, all those sort of things. So that's why we need to be together for mutual benefit. We'll get that. Good point. If we have next on C, teaching other or responsibilities, let's look at Ephesians 4 just a second, Matt. And when we look at Ephesians 4, we're making a transition there from those things of spiritual blessings and a more general context of blessings to specific things that we need to think about to do in our life, to believe. And Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a worthy manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Now, first three verses, Ephesians 4. How are we to walk?
Worthy towards the gospel.
Worthy towards the gospel, okay? Worthy, walk worthy. And it's interesting in that when we think about walking worthy, that's our life, our everyday actions, our everyday thoughts. Is being in Christ affect that? Yes, okay? It should. It's got to. We can't be a different person on Sunday and a different person on Monday, can we? All right? So we're walking this worthy path, okay, all days, all hours. And we're making the best effort we can at that. And that's why he's talking about that as a first part when he begins that, to entreat us to walk worthy. Now, and it's because of calling which we've had. calling which we've had, okay, in Christ. Now, in 11 through 15, in that same chapter 4, and he gave someone to help in this process of equipping us, the saints, for the work of service in verse 12, to the building up of the body of Christ, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Everything, okay, begins with a commitment on our part to receive teaching, okay, and a commitment on our part to take that teaching, okay, whether we read it ourselves and check it in the scriptures, but to apply that teaching. And that's going to take Christ, when we view Him and view God and view our eternity, as valuable. And that's why we would walk worthy, okay, of the sacrifice of Christ. Now, and in verse 17, this I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as Gentiles, also walk in futility of their mind. So don't walk like the world, where there is no hope, where you have a hope, and hope of eternity with Christ. Now, when we talk about futility of their mind, what is that? What's futility? Okay? Do we want that kind of mind as we walk worldly? No. Futility idea is meaningless, fruitless, those sort of things that pointless, unprofitable, things that we self-impose on ourselves, isn't it? That when we walk like the Gentiles, in the futility of our mind. We've got a great mind. And the internet shows us that. There's so much to learn. Okay, but let's learn what's right for us, right for the people around us, right to support each other. So those things are of Christ. And concentrate our efforts on those. Now, the good point that Linda makes is that when we read these scriptures, is any of it useless? It's all to build us up one way or another, isn't it? It's all to educate us one way or another. Because this is a mind of God written in this book. And He's exposed that to us once and for all. And He'll judge us in the last day. So if we're discerning humans, okay? Discerning humans, we'll take those things that apply to us and then put them in our lives. Now, so, D part. Then why the local church? Well, see, I got a lot of things I can do on my own. Why the local church? And that's when we move into the second part here, something that God realized long ago and that many groups today realize also, that there's help, there's promotion, there's things that are good for you in your walk, worthy walk, of doing things together. Doing things together. I know we have listed here AA and Weight Watchers and Gamblers Anonymous. I looked up AA, and when I looked up AA, they began back in 1929. Some have it at 35. But he started that because of the excess drinking in Alcoholics Anonymous. And a lot of those 12 steps that they have are God-based. You'll see parallels in salvation there. But all that was to give direction to an individual who wants to get away from this slave that he was, or she was, to alcohol, and to shed that, and to stay shed of it. Because once you're, what is it? Once you're an alcoholic, you're always an alcoholic? That's right. Okay? You just got to stop doing those things, okay, to your body, which gives you a lack of self-control. So, in his quest for that, I saw another 200 organizations kind of sprang out of that idea. So the world recognizes that there's strength, there's help, there's to endure. There's all those things that promote growth, promote a greater faith, we can do together, a local church, the local church. And because our goal is in Christ, those things that are in Christ, that's what we promote, isn't it? Okay, in our personal lives, and to show it to others, our in Christ relationship, and also to teach when we have the opportunity. Now, when we have problems and goals and our minds directed in one effort, you know, what do we do? Okay, well, we've got knowledge. We've got the knowledge of God in front of us as a helper, isn't it, when we're together, individuals, verbal or written. And this book here, if you had to find the wisest words in the world, the wisest instruction in the world, those things that are for our good and for our eternity, it's in here. It's in here. So those things we have, we make that part of our knowledge when we move through. Now, that's, again, the world recognizes that also, because they've got statistics on Alcoholics Anonymous. They've got books written on it. There's self-help, all those sort of things. But to get the knowledge of how it hurts the body, how it hinders you in your life and relationships you have, all that's a knowledge they bring to bear when they're trying to help you to stop drinking, being addicted to alcohol. And number two, their strength. How can you have strength in which find your problem and goals in mind? What gives you strength? Like we just said, meeting together, isn't it? Meeting together. And what's interesting sometimes when I was reading about that is that people are surprised sometimes when they come to these meetings, when they meet with others, they're surprised that, you know, there's a lot of people that have the problem I have. I'm not alone in this. And isn't that our problem? Sin problem? Trespass problem? Always fighting Satan and his helpers? So, same idea that we can work together to strengthen each other when we meet together. Number three is resources. Well, the world recognizes that you've got to have maybe a speaker, okay? Maybe you got to have materials, okay, written materials. You may have a meeting place. The world recognizes that to promote, say, the kind of things they're trying to solve in all these different organizations. And God recognized that also, and He set up a common fund. He's set up the words that we need, an instruction manual. And we have it. We have it. Yes, sir? Okay. And the last thing is abilities. You know, if you've got problems and goals and we've set our mind on this, do abilities go into it? Should we keep ourselves able, okay, to understand, to teach, to do those actions to help one another? Yes. That's right. Okay? We've all got different abilities. And all we can do is use the abilities we have in the service of the cause that we're into, the responsibility of the relationship we have. In our in Christ relationship, we need to use our abilities. Put down the tablet. Less TV. Get a good night's sleep. Call others. Those are abilities we have. Visit others, help us, promote others, build their faith. So the things we can do, and the world recognizes that also. Maybe I'll give a plug for Mary Kay here. Dawn is an outgoing person, and that personality she has is her personality. She likes people. And she doesn't hide that. Whether it's Mary Kay business, okay, kind of part of that, okay. But when Mary Kay, when people are hurting in that organization, they help each other. There's not always selling makeup, okay? Same thing here. We've got abilities and we can help each other, whatever those abilities are. And it is surprising what a text or a phone call or a card means to me. Same to you. Okay? So let's be aware around us. Now, in our humble messenger, we've written there that Jerry Fain is going to have some surgery on May 8th. Now, let's be aware of that, to inquire. All right? And also, let's make sure we can our phones and things are able to receive calls. All right? And we've tried very hard to make sure our phone numbers and emails and that sort of thing are in our church directory, the electronic directory, that they're accurate. Addresses are accurate. And if you see an inaccuracy there, we need to know, because those are the contact points when we want to talk to another believer, another member in Christ to help them. Now, so it's a sign to recognize God knew all along. It's if we didn't meet together, and we know we've got 11 men to support around the world. How much would we give? Would we kind of send them in each week, or how much would we all give? Would we give the same amounts if we didn't meet together at all? How much would we pray together? How much would we know about each other if we didn't meet together and have these conversations we have, the information we have? So there's value, okay, in other aspects too. There's value in being together. And God knows that, okay? And the world knows that also. Now, the third part is a point dealing with local church. And if you look in the Bible, I can't find the idea of universal church. I can't find the word saying local church either. Or second church, all right? But the point is, local church, local group of people in Christ, have voluntarily put themselves in that responsibility and those obligations. And God has given us direction for that. And the first one here, as we work together, is when we assemble. And we've talked about that. And in Hebrews 10, it's a classic verse, but there's something to remember for us to relook at in Hebrews chapter 10. As we look at an overall picture of the Hebrew letter, what was the problem? What was the problem they were facing? Their faith was being tested. And here they are, Hebrews, from the first generation, okay? And here they are, the Hebrew ancestry behind them, Jewish ancestry, Jewish parents made. And they're being pulled back, okay? Pulled back from this Christian following Christ to going back to Moses and everything concerning Moses. A great pull, especially when you deal with families. You talk faith and religion and family, it's hard. But here they are living this and fighting this. So they're trying to be pulled back into that. So their faith, and their commitment to Christ is always in question by their families and the people they work with or whatever it is. So as we see here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, let me back up to 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. That's exactly what we were just talking about, wasn't it? People trying to pull us back. And it happens today. Same idea. So what's the result of that if you're succumbing to that? Well, beware. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. And an example of that was happening with them. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So they've got a problem. And when they were combating that problem, one thing that shows up as an indicator of a problem is attendance. You still got your sin problem. Still there. And here you are, not seeking comfort, a mutual support from one another, okay, to fight this problem, to build faith, and you're not assembling. So these people in this Hebrew book, you can see that as they didn't attend, didn't get built up, didn't get educated, didn't hear others with like problems and how they're overcoming, okay, their family problems with a Hebrew ancestry. When you're not attending, it's hard. It makes it much harder, much harder. Okay? I think I'll put two or three muches on that. All right? But the point is, that's what he recognized here. Now, in 24, consider how to stimulate one another in love and good deeds. Well, stimulate. What's that? Okay? Promote. Excite. Those things that would cause us to have more interest in what's going on. You get excited sometimes when you're going on a trip. Not coming back, but going on one. All right? When there's a wedding going to happen. Boy, sure, that's good. Those two people need to be together forever. There's all kinds of things that stimulate our mind, okay, and our actions and good feelings. So here's the idea that It's good if you do not forsake assembling together. God wants that. Yes? Sure it is. Okay, encourage. Yeah. So, yes, ma'am. What's a tendency if you want to hang on to old religions? If you want to hang on to old ways, mix them together, isn't it? And that's what they're always trying to do, mix in the requirement for circumcision, weren't they? And all those sort of things. So you can compromise away faith. All right? God is not pleased with that. Not at all. Okay? And that's sin. So that's a tendency we like to do to appease. And that shouldn't be part of our spiritual life. Now, while we're here, let's go back to chapter 6, Hebrews 6. I want to make one point there. 6:11-12. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. Not be sluggish. What's another word for sluggish?
Lazy.
Now, we're not saying quit. We're not saying quit your faith, but you can be lazy in it, can't you? Say, not do what you should be doing. I'll do it tomorrow. And tomorrow is tomorrow, tomorrow. So you can be that kind of sluggish person. And that's what we don't want to do. Yes, sir?
Would that be in contrast
to zealous? Sure. Sure is. Okay. Zealous is a good word to be contrasted to that. And okay, so That's assembling together. And one last point, back in Hebrews 10:25. When we look at 10:25, not forsaking our assembly together, as is the habit of some. Well, yeah, that's what's recognized. But you see the not but? Not and but? What's to be emphasized after the but? But encouraging one another, and all the more you see the day drawing near. That's the emphasis. Don't assemble, okay. But the point is, point to be made is encouraging one another. That's the outgrowth of it. That's the thing we should look for, encouraging one another. So that's where calls come in, contacts, visiting, okay, encouraging, helping, all those sort of things, okay? And that's what a local church can do, one with another. All right. And singing, Colossians 3:16, those are things that we do as a collective here. We sing together. And why would we sing? Kill time? No. We sing because of what God has said, teaching and admonishing one another, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We don't choose songs that are not spiritual songs. We choose other songs to build our faith, to remind us of our commitment to Christ. And reminding is a good point. We do that with songs, hymns and spiritual songs. But teaching and admonishing one another. It's all teaching. Admonishing is what? Warning, isn't it? Guess what? In our songs, they warn us about different aspects. Pleasing God, not pleasing God. All right? So teaching and admonishing one another. So one another is an indicator of, I'm not by myself, I'm with a group, aren't I? I have to be with more than one to do the one another. So those things we can do one another to build faith. Yes? Yes, yes, yes. Happy today. All right. So those are all upbuilding psalms also. So just remember that. We'll continue here next time. Please do your questions and fill in the blanks coming up on the next part. Thank you for your attendance this morning. Thank you.